Greetings to you all today. Welcome you to the house of the Lord. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I ask that you would pay attention and that you would pray for our brother as he comes before us. I give you our brother, an elder, Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Aaron. I think I'm on. So I wanted to start off this morning with just a big congratulations to everyone. We made it through the summer. It was difficult. It was hot. It was muggy this summer. And this morning I woke up and I voluntarily sat out back, I admit. I'll get into that a little bit further in detail. But man, it was so nice out this morning. It was just like a relief to know that we made it through another year of excruciating, painful, difficult heat. And I love Arizona this time of year and the months to come. We got about, I don't know, 6 good months ahead of us of just beautiful weather. So I encourage everybody, get out there. Thank the Lord for the weather that we have, because I just can't say enough how beautiful this country is when you actually get to go out there and see it firsthand and not suffer. And even though it's going to be cool out, just be prepared, bring water and all that if you could decide to go hiking in that, because it's still important. But I wanted to just start off with that little bit of a congratulations. And I'm excited that the seasons are starting to change, even though we don't typically have seasons here, but we get that reprieve from summer. But everybody that's live streaming, thank you for tuning in. I am excited to be here this morning. You know, we've had some changes in our household, and that is very interesting to me. And yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the changes that we recently had at first, but we acquired a new puppy. And so that's one of the reasons I was out this morning, is to give my lovely wife, Alicia, she will be here, but she has been getting up at night with this puppy, and she looked pretty exhausted this morning. So give her a big smile and let her know that we'll be praying for her, because she needs her sleep. And so, you know, this has been an interesting last few weeks, couple months for me. It just has kind of been tough. I've really been having a difficult time, and I decided to have this new plan of action in my life, and I decided that I'm going to overcome the world. I am going to do it. And I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but it's been challenging the last couple of months with owning a house and having vehicles. It just seems like every single time something breaks, I fix it, and something else breaks. It's been so just orchestrated to wear on me. I've expressed this to brothers and sisters, and it really does wear on you. And I've really been struggling with that. And one of the things is that my wonderful wife, as she walks in the door, is encouraged me. Hi, Alicia. What perfect timing. But one of the things is that I expressed my frustrations to her. And, you know, it's one of those things that I never look. Well, sometimes I do, but recently I've just been so worked up as far as everything going wrong. And one of the things is recently that we had to get a part replaced on the air conditioner, and I was really upset with the company. I won't mention any names, about them coming out and getting up on my roof and giving me a quote of an exuberant amount of money to be able to do basically clean out a drip tray and replace a contactor on my AC. Some of you, I understand, don't know any of that, what I just said. Either did I, as far as the contactor goes going into this. And they wanted to charge me $750, and I was really upset about it. And so I took it upon myself to do a little bit of research, look up parts according to the model number, figuring out that the part was $16 and two screws and some little bit of muscle to pull out a tray to clean out. And so, you know, with Alicia telling me, you know, that it's one of those things that, yeah, you could be frustrated about the whole situation, but look at the blessing that it is for us financially as a family, and you as a person being able to understand and to have and to gain the knowledge to be able to do that. You know, I wasn't sure about it myself. I was had a little bit of anxiety. And as I was up there replacing the part on this AC, you know, I could tell when I'm nervous about working on something that's completely foreign to me because my hands will start to shake. You know, I shut the power off. I test the power to make sure it's all good. My hands are still shaking because, you know, I'm adventuring in unknown territory, which I think we all experience in different variations of our lives, you know, every day, every week, every month, every year. And, you know, the fear of the unknown really takes its toll on us. And, you know, through this experience and understanding and being comforted by the Spirit, knowing that I can do it, and now I have the confidence in doing it, it's just a blessing, and Alicia helps me be able to see that. And I know that one of the things that happens with me internally and sometimes verbally is I express these frustrations as I'm going through them, and I said to myself, you know what? I am not going to say those things that are inappropriate in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me through this because I need it. Because when you're on the roof working on stuff, some of us can attest that bad things can happen and you could go falling off a roof. It happened to some of us. And I didn't want that to happen. And, you know, that could be detrimental to the rest of my life. And, you know, it happens. Accidents happen. But I was really praying that the Lord would give me an understanding. And it all turned out good. And it really, I appreciated that. And I believe and I know that there's an order to everything, you know, through the repairs that we do on our house, the repairs that we do upon ourselves in our lives. There's an order that we follow, a process that we follow. And as long as we follow that process, you know, the majority of the time, we're going to receive the expectation that we had going into it. And so, you know, all these things were transpiring. And I was expressing to my brother last Saturday. He came over. We needed to do the brakes on his truck, which, you know, cakewalk for me. Come on over. We'll do that. And I was expressing to him that, you know, all these things are going wrong. I'm just so frustrated, you know, and he gets it. And we all go through it. And it was uncanny how as soon as I get the jack stands under the back of the truck, we were just doing his back brakes. I have an air compressor in my garage with the hose reel and all that so we can hook up air tools and do it faster. I go to turn on my air compressor and there's a check valve on it. Not check valve, it's a pressure regulator. And the pressure regulator starts dumping air. And I just look at him and I'm saying, "This such is life. You know, these are the things that happen." And it was comical because we actually had to do a lot of it by hand. But at the same time, it wasn't unexpected. Kind of was, but I just laughed it off and said, well, we'll get to that when we can. But, you know, there's a process to being able to look within ourselves and to have that desire to be able to fix, to overcome those things that press upon us day in and day out. We can do that through our obedience with God and his son, Jesus. And I believe and I've learned that through our obedience in God and Jesus, that strengthens our trust and strengthens our faith in him to be able to help us overcome and accomplish those things. And, you know, this world has a lot that works against us and who we are and what we believe. Our Sunday school, we were learning about persecution throughout the world, and it's difficult. There's a lot of difficulties that we undergo. Difficulties for our ministry as they travel throughout the many nations. There's so many things that they can encounter. We have testimonies of that. We have witnesses of that, but they have overcome, and it's through God's protection that he helps us be able to do that. And we learn those things through the gospel. We learn those things by the experiences that Jesus has. So those experiences that we all encounter, one of the things that we desire to do is to be able to share that with our kids, with our family, with our friends, you know, and we learn and we grow together. And I think that, and I believe that the being able to overcome, you know, with Jesus in our lives, there's nothing that can stop us. There's all these challenges. And even though we get those things that we encounter that can be difficult, that can be a struggle, that we can always see the light in that and to be a light for Jesus and to be fruitful for him through those endeavors. And I want to start off with 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And as I read these verses, I use eSword, and I love reading the commentary that goes along with it. So after these first four verses, I'm going to give you a definition, and I'm going to read what Matthew Henry speaks towards in relation to this. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It's that faith that overcomes that the world. Strong's 35:28, to overcome means to conquer, prevail, and to get the victory. And Matthew Henry, with his commentary, coincides with this. And he's talking about his first line here. He's talking about Jesus. And he says, Christ. And he says, "He has a temper and disposition that tend to a higher and better world." And that's one of the things that I appreciate, because that temper and disposition as we go through our difficulties, you know, what is the end result we're trying to accomplish? What is the goal? Something as simple as fixing an AC on a roof, you know, we have an end goal is to provide that comfort that we desire on a daily basis, especially here in Arizona. If you don't have an air conditioner, it's very uncomfortable. But that temper and disposition that we have as we're fixing our temporal things, ourselves within spiritually, it leads to something, the end goal, a better world that is given to us through our faith and through our hope and through our trust in Christ and his Father. So Matthew Henry says here, he gives 5 points. "In and by faith we cleave to Christ in contempt of and opposition to the world. Faith works in and by love to God in Christ, and so withdraws us from the love of the world. Faith sanctifies the heart and purifies it from those sensual lusts by which the world obtains such sway and dominion over the souls. It receives and derives strength from the object of it, the Son of God, for conquering the frowns and the flatteries of the world. It obtains by gospel promise a right to the indwelling spirit of grace that is greater than he who dwells in the world." It's a promise of that indwelling spirit. And I appreciate that, because how that spirit is continuously working within us as we allow it to. The things that it can do, the way it could change us, the temper it could give us, the disposition as we're doing things, it can change us. It can lead us to a better place. It can help us accomplish simple, difficult tasks that gives us anxiety. And it can help us be able to understand that the world we dwell in is gonna always pose challenges to us every day. And Christ overcame that. And so, you know, that's some of the things I wanted to share, is that, you know, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8-9, it says here, verses 8-9, "Though he were a son," they're talking about Christ, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And it's that those things that he suffered through that taught him obedience, following after the will of his Father. And suffering, it's something that I believe we deal with. Struggling is something that we deal with. But that obedience to God gives us the pathway to be able to overcome. And Jesus overcame everything. He was perfect in every sense. And I wanted to share some of those things that he overcame. And I think I got five points that he overcame. We'll just go through them. I think it's five. And one of the first things that I wanted to share that he overcame was the cares of the world, obviously. In John chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 1 and I'm going to read verses 23 and 27, because as Jesus overcame all these things that the world was throwing at him, you know, the challenges that he had, the struggles that he went through, the suffering that he did, you know, he kept his temper. He kept his disposition. And in verse 1, it says, "Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also." And then jumping down to verse 23, I'm going to read 23 through 27. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the world which is ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And again, I go back to that. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. You know, every challenge that we embark on, there is that doubt, that fear that comes along with it. But through prayer, through the Lord's counsel, we overcome those things. He gives us that Spirit, that Comforter, to be with us, to be within our hearts, to be within our minds, to help us understand what it is we need to do to be able to overcome those things that the world throws at us. And it's important that I know that when in accomplishing some things, I feel really good, especially when it comes to things that I really enjoy, mountain biking. You know, I feel really good about myself. I just want to get on that soapbox and tell everybody how good of a job I've done. But it's something that I've learned through God is how to stay humble and to not talk about how good I am, but to give people an understanding of what it is that can help them through what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish. It takes time, it takes exercise, it takes focus, it takes patience, and it takes dedication. And I think the same is here. You know, the Lord Jesus, he had all these things. He exercised these things on a day-to-day basis with his disciples, with the Sadducees, with the Pharisees. He exercised these things. And here he's sharing that. He's saying, you know, let peace be with you. He leaves that with us, that gift of the Holy Ghost to comfort us, to help us. And I believe wholeheartedly that Spirit humbles us as well. If our hearts are opened up to God, that Spirit teaches us how to be humble, how to take those good things that we've learned, that we've accomplished, that we're subject matters experts in life, how to not bring ourselves up, but be able to share those with others, to help others, to be able to express how God has blessed us and how we can testify and be fruitful for him for showing us and helping us through those things. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple verses, a few verses here, 5 through 7. And it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that's where we support everything that the Lord has given us. Most importantly, that gift of the Comforter, that gift of the Holy Ghost. That's where we promote that. That's where we testify of that. That's where we share that. Because having that understanding of how life is and what the world does to us is so important, because Christ is the one that deserves to be acknowledged. He deserves the glory to help us be able to get through all those things. The second one, hatred and persecution. This is what we were learning about in our Sunday school. And if anybody gets online or through their news media streams or turns on the TV, one of the things I think about right now when it comes and relates to hatred and persecution is politics. I'm not going to get into politics right here, but it is getting ugly. It is so bad that I just want to disconnect from it. I don't want nothing to do with it. It's that bad. And what is it that drives that? It's a desire for power. It's political gains. And I'm sure that in politics, there's a lot to do with financials and statuses and all that stuff that goes along with it. That's worldly. But one of the things that is so important through being a Christian is understanding that persecution is becoming more and more pronounced every month, every year, how much it has changed and how dramatically it has changed from even when I was a youth to now. Some of the things that you see, you hear, that you encounter are really a struggle and difficult from the standpoint of trying to be a Christian. It's whether it directly reflects us or we just happen to see it, witness it, and it's on our hearts. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for us. And one of the things that we were learning in our Sunday school is the persecution around the world. And I know our ministry goes into dangerous places all the time. It's very, very difficult. And some of the footage that and testimonies that we were watching and this video that I was showing demonstrated that what some of these individuals went through as far as being persecuted. The one that we watched today was a gentleman that was from the Czech Republic, and he was in Sudan. And he was actually getting ready to leave. He was doing missionary work. He was getting ready to leave. He was in the airport. He had his boarding pass in his hand. And the police came up to him in Sudan and arrested him, interrogated him for 3 days straight. He ended up being there through a six-month court trial. And then he was sentenced to death, but they redacted that and gave him a life sentence. And he ended up in a prison cell that was for one person and shared it with six members of ISIS. And his testimony was amazing because of how he was persecuted first and foremost in the cell with these gentlemen. But after going through all of that, how he said that God protected him, how he knew that that Spirit of God put him there for a reason and gave him that opportunity to be able to serve these people that are in these difficult places. And he actually changed some of the people that were in the cell with him and through his testimony. And so we need to be praying for our ministry wherever they go. Because, you know, as I said, and I'm sure as they witnessed, the things of this world are getting more and more difficult for the Christian, especially in foreign countries. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we were all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 43 and 44, it says, yea, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And Christ was the perfect example of this. Every trial he went through, figuratively and literally, he faced it as his Father desired. And that's where we have our struggle. And that's where the difficulties come in, is through our worldly desire. You know, we want to act in a way that is contrary to what Christ teaches here. But we have to learn that discipline, that obedience in the scriptures, in through Christ and his experience of how we go about our day-to-day life, glorifying him and working through the hatred and the persecution that there is in this world. So moving on, I want to go to another thing that Christ overcame was sin and temptation. And I wanted to start off by sharing how I related to this. And we've had a lot of rain here over the last few months. And when I go and ride my bike out in the desert, it's interesting because in the middle of summer and the dead of summer, there's no vegetation. And now it's interesting because I went out the other night. It was so beautiful. And I go down these trails and they're winding trails through the desert along a wash. And all of the growth is starting to encroach in on the trail. And at night, I'm properly equipped with my lighting on my bike and my helmet, and I understand the trail. I've been on it many upon many a times. But there's a change in my mentality in the way that I perceive things and the caution that I take because of all of these things that are growing in on the trail. This is creosote bushes, prickly pear cactuses, cholla cactus is the worst one, mesquite trees, Palo Verde trees, all these things are encroaching into the trail. And so, you know, it's a little bit more, I don't want to say dangerous, I feel comfortable on it, but it's a little bit more, you're capable of having an accident a little bit more than you usually do, because usually you have a clear vision. You can see every turn, every corner, every rock, but as it's coming in, you know, this is getting to be a little bit more and more difficult, and such is life with sin and temptation. As we go through life, it seems like as we're in the clear, everything starts to encroach in and challenge us more and more and make life more and more difficult. But, you know, I kind of think about that, and if I was to have an accident, I'm going to end up in a thorn bush, or I'm going to scrape up my whole side or hit a tree. But I know that through experience, through doing this trail over and over and over again, that that's more than likely not going to happen. And if it does, it's because of my own error in my way. But I relate that to Jesus and the experiences that he gives us. And we take those experiences and we put it on our heart and in our minds, that we have an understanding of where to go on this path in which we have set before us. We're going through life. And, you know, sin and temptation. The one thing that I look at and know of with all assurity is that, and I look at this in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. I look at that and just, you know, it's like, how awesome is Christ to be able to just shut Satan down and tell him to take a hike? And I love the fact that, you know, he, through his divine power, gives us that testimony to share with us, to let us know that through anything that he overcame Satan, and his power far exceeds anything that we can comprehend. And so I'm going to read that. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And here's Christ. He's been out there 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Like, I can't imagine just going, 3 days, 4 days, you know, fasting. It's difficult, but it changes you as a person. And you know, there's 40 days that he's passed by, and Satan is tempting him, you know, turn these stones into bread. And, you know, he said, "I shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And we've got to remember that those things that God has given us, that's what feeds us. That's what gives us that spiritual strength. And, you know, I have a confession that I have a weakness, a temptation that has entered into my life as of recently. And it's Connor's birthday came and we did a barbecue and we had all the good stuff. But, you know, I used to be in love with Costco's pumpkin pie, but apple pie from Costco has set a new standard for me. I used to love the pumpkin pie. And here I am because I'm trying. And there's two slices of pie in the fridge every night. And what's it doing? It's calling out to me. Hey, buddy, you know you want a bite. It is. And there I go. I go to the kitchen. I get out my fork. And I'm just going to have a bite. And I sure enough, that stinking thing got me again because it's just so tempting. But I look at the frailty of man and see how easy it is for us to fail. You know, I got these standards in my mind. I got this discipline of a meal system that works, and I am not going to deviate from it. Sure enough, that pie got the best of me. But, you know, I get the humility in that, but it's important for us to remember that, you know, these experiences and the obedience that Christ had within himself far surpasses anything that we deal with in life. And so we'll go on. And in verse 5, it says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world and glory of them, and saith, 'All these things I will give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me.'" And, next page. "Then Jesus saith unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." And I really appreciate that last little line, "the angels ministered unto Christ." And whatever challenge that we have, you know, when we overcome, when we make it through, Christ gives us that spirit, you know, that encouragement. He gives us that renewing of strength, knowing that, hey, I did this. I can overcome it again and again and again. And now, instead of patting myself on the back, giving God the glory, and worshiping God, I'm going to share this with others. People that have similar experiences, difficulties, physical, spiritual, temporal. You know, these are things that we share as the body of Christ. That's what Christ teaches. He overcame it. He was obedient unto the Father, and he overcame. He overcame the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And you hath he quickened, you, every one of us. And that word quickened in Strong's 22:27. To live, to make alive, to give life by spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate, to restore life. So again, and he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He works with everybody. He's putting opportunities out there. He's reaching out, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened, made us alive, us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And what goes along with the sin and temptation is, you know, there's changes that happen in one's life when you allow the Spirit to work with you. I am a walking, living example of that. And I listen to Dave Ramsey. I'm a big fan. I need to be listening to him again more and more. But there's one thing that he says. He repeats this a lot on his talk show on 92.3. He's on there a couple times a day, day and night. At night, it's pre-recorded. He says, hitting the bottom and hitting it hard was the worst thing that had ever happened to me, and the best thing that ever happened to me. I appreciate that saying, because, you know, a lot of times that we need to hit that rock bottom to understand that the Lord's arm, and to see that the Lord's arm is outstretched to us. You know, those are some of the things that through humbleness and knowing and seeing true experience in a difficult life, how we were raised, where we were raised, others that were raised, we can understand and see the glory of God and his grace through those experiences, through those struggles, just as Jesus did. Sorrow and death. This is something that, you know, we all must face, but it's wonderful to know that Christ has a plan. And I wanted to share in John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. And I've been thinking about death and getting older and working things out within myself to get a good understanding of, you know, transitioning from this world to the kingdom of God. And it's comforting when you do have, the details, the footprint, the foundation, and it's just our faith, our hope, our trust that get us there. Those are the keys to that. You know, it says in John chapter 11, verse 21 through 27, this is about Lazarus. It says, then said Martha unto Jesus, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest this thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And that's something that has been proven through the gospel, is that Christ has overcome death, but even more so in our temporal world, the things that cause our spiritual soul, our soul that can kill that, that can take away from the beauty of the gospel and the love of God, that even if we were dead, Christ, through him, can bring us back. He loves each and every one of us, and he knows us, and he cares for us. Don't ever forget that, and share that with those that are struggling, that are having that difficult time in their lives. And it says in Psalms 119, verse 1 through 8, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, that when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not. And I think just like everything else, every day is something new to learn. It's a new learning process. And that's where I bring up the conversation with obedience and this wonderful little puppy that we have. So we have to start from step one with this puppy. You know, we have to teach this puppy that there's rules, that you can't go potty on the carpet, and that you have to not break skin when you're biting on my hand, and that, you know, barking's okay, but, you know, we only do that in certain given situations. But that training process, you know, I look at that, you know, we're God's children. We're going through that training process all the time. You know, as we get older, we start learning things. And that's why I say that you can teach an old dog new tricks. I've learned and I've grown. And I hope that through all of your experiences that you have learned and grown. And I see it. I understand it. And I testify of it that, you know, the Lord and his spirit works within us, and he desires us to learn and to grow and to understand. And part of that is an expectation, following after the commandments, being obedient. And, you know, the puppy does things the right way. We encourage the puppy and pet him and, you know, and provide positive reinforcement. That's the word I was looking for. Because, you know, just as God sees us in our lives where we struggle, you know, he's not trying to throw us under a bus. He's not trying to have us be a poster child for shame, but he wants us and he loves us and he wants us to be able to grow and to understand through him and being obedient. There's joy, there's peace, and there's eternal salvation for following after. So what does he say in John chapter 15, verses 7 through 14? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I love that sentence, because we can lose joy in a moment's notice when it comes to certain things. It can just completely escape and abandon us through any given situation. But if we have Christ in our lives, we're abiding with him. He will abide with us, and we won't fail in that department. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And I like this. You know, we've talked about this in different variation, a man that lays down his life for his friends. And I've been given that some thought. And in previous sermons and discussions, we related that to being in a battle. One of the things I'd like for people to see in a different point of view is that when a man lays down his life for friends, it's very difficult for a man to open up. And I think it's important that if, like, when we're in these situations where it can be difficult to be able to share some experiences, that we lay it down, that we put it on the table with friends that could be having a similar difficulty, that we are open and lay down our life so they can see it and see the troubles and the trials and struggles and be able to share and help a friend live and understand that it was because of God that this is a new life that I have, and it's through him. And he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, and why I wanted to say that is because our lives fall apart. You know, things break all the time in our lives. And some of us are good with putting things back together. Some of us are not. And some of us have the capability to share. And some of us, it's more difficult to do that. There's opportunities, I believe, with a soft heart and an open mind and the love of God in us to be able to help others put their lives back together, help be able to share experiences, lay down your life so other people can see it and understand it and be able to get back on the right path. As the world encroaches more and more, it makes it difficult for you to see what's ahead. You know, with friends, with people that have the similar experiences, these things can be opened up to you, and it can be a blessing. And in Psalms 119, verses 12 through 18, it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, and as much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And how true is that? Once you come to God, come to Jesus, that you see these wonderful things in life that he gives you, whether it's people, places, experiences, all these things that the Lord gives you is wonderful. Life should be joyful to us. We should have a good experience that we could share with others. And, you know, one thing that we do share all together as the body of Christ is the sacrament. We share that through the body of Christ. And that's something to help us be able to remember. I look at that and I see that and I appreciate that and know how wonderful that is, because that helps provide us the strength to be able to make it through all these things that the world does through the obedience in coming forth and sharing that time together and with God. And, you know, this month here, we typically, my brother and I, would be fishing in Wisconsin with my dad, and we don't get to do that anymore. But one of the things that we try to do, if life allows, is to be able to go fishing here. And we have a trip coming up this week, and I'm just so thankful of that. My dad has taught me a lot of things in life, things that I've learned from and carry on, I believe, through my talents that he had. But you know, my father had difficulties as well. He had some very difficult struggles in his life, but nevertheless, he affects me all the time. My dad affects me in the things that I do. And a lot of times that when we go and we go fishing, I appreciate so much the time because the Lord gives us that. The Lord gives us that time. And it's to reflect on our lives with our dad. And it's important. And the Lord gives us this time. He gives us his spirit. He gives us the sacrament to be able to come and to remember all those things that he gives that are so wonderful. And I hope that this little message here, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, through the humor in it or through the experiences, that it helps you be able to see your life and other people's lives in a different way and allows you to be able to receive that spirit of God and help it, let it change you. And so with that, remember that God is there with us. He abides with us. And we, by choosing, can abide with him. Thank you very much, and may God bless each and every one of you.